Welcome to A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. In Romans chapter 5, verses 1 and 2, the Apostle Paul wrote, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God." As we study the book of Romans, we might be impressed with the fact that we comment so much about the matter of faith. And that's because the Apostle Paul mentions faith so many times. We're studying the system of salvation, the way that God saves man from his sins, enables man to have that hope of glory in heaven. And we learn that it is a system that certainly involves faith. And here he speaks of being justified by faith. But he not only talks about how faith is involved, here he begins to talk about some of the benefits and the blessings of this faith. Here he said, "We have peace with God." Now, when man sins, he is, in a sense, declaring war against God because it's so opposed to what God wants from man. But we can have peace with God. Now, we like to have peace with ourselves. We certainly want peace with those round about us. But peace with God, that's the most important peace that man can enjoy. And further in this chapter, he talks about the reconciliation that we have through Jesus Christ, how we are reconciled to God by and through Christ after our alienation from God because of sin. Now, this is a spiritual peace. Isaiah had written, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, nor his ear heavy that he cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, and he will not hear." Oh, my dear listening friend, it is a glorious thought to ponder that a sinful man may come to a spiritual peace with God. And how does that come about? It's by this system of salvation that God has given unto man by his grace. And man partakes of it by faith. Here he speaks of man having access into this spiritual condition. He calls this grace. This grace simply means that which the grace of God offers, that which it provides, salvation. And how does one gain access into this grace? Paul says it's by faith. This faith gives access into this grace. It makes the entrance into the benefits of the grace of God possible. It's much the same thought as presented in John chapter 1 and verse 12. There we read, "But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." Now notice, those who believe, they're not immediately made sons of God, but they're given power to become the sons of God. The same idea, having access. We having access to something, that's not the same as already possessing that something. Having the power to become something, you still must become that something. And when this faith is coupled with obedience, then the desired result becomes our spiritual reality. Now, these Roman Christians, they stood in that spiritual relationship with God that's called grace. And they should rejoice in the hope of the glory that God would give to those who are saved. Then in verse 3 through 5, Paul said, "And not only so," notice some of the further benefits of this system, "but we glory in tribulations." Now I want to pause right here and keep in mind, Paul does not mean to say that he was glad for persecution. But the early Christians did suffer persecution, first from the Jews and then also from the Gentiles. But Paul said we glory in those tribulations. As bad as it seemed, it was not all bad, because it produced some other qualities in the Christian that are essential in being faithful to God. He said, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Notice the benefits that can be derived from tribulation. There is patience or steadfastness, faithfulness. There is another quality. He calls it experience, more literally a tried character. One who has a tried character, he is one who has been put to the test, and he's passed that test. And the person who has been put to the test and passed the test, he's in a far better condition to withstand what may come than the one who has never yet been put to the test. So as these Christians suffer tribulation, Paul says, let's look at the potential benefit that we can derive from this tribulation. And he says, the Lord will not be ashamed of such a person. Now, Paul had said earlier in the first chapter he was not ashamed of the gospel, but here he refers to the love that God has for man, and God is not ashamed of those who will follow his will. And we become aware of the love of God by the revelation given to us by the Holy Spirit. It's that revelation of God's scheme, God's system, God's plan, by which he has determined to save mankind. Then in verse 6 through 8, we read of that which concerns Christ and what he has done. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us. How did he do that? In that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Paul denotes something more specifically and precise that is the manifestation of the love that God has for a sinful man. When man was without strength, that is, when he was weak in faith, when he is lost in his sins, when he's hopeless, and when he's wayward from doing the things that God says are correct, Christ died on his behalf. Now, he died for the ungodly. The ungodly refers to that sinful man that is without strength. And we have to take note, it was God who initiated all of this. It was God who acted on the behalf of man. He was the one who instigated it. He was the one who determined what was to be done. He was the one that determined when it was to be done. God determined the death of Christ to accomplish our salvation, the payment of sin being made by him. Now, he says how extraordinary this is, because only with difficulty, scarcely, will one die even for a just man. And some might die for a just man. But Christ did more than that, friend. He died for the sinner. While we were yet sinners, he died for us. Now, these meant that the sins of a person, they could be forgiven. He should have paid for his own sins. But our Lord took their place. And the Lord takes my place and your place, in that he died on the cross, that by the shedding of his blood, we can be saved from our sins. Notice what he says about that in the very next verse. And notice how many times in the next few verses he uses the two-word phrase, much more, having emphasized the magnitude of the destructive power of sin. There's something that is much more powerful than sin. There is something that can overcome sin. that can erase and blot out sin, well, what is that? He says here in verse 9, much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Justified by the blood of Christ. Well, of course, that shows it's not by faith only, as some false teachers say, but it also includes the blood of Christ. We're saved from the wrath of a just God by the blood of Christ. Now notice, Paul had said in the first verse of this chapter that we are justified by faith. Here he says we're justified by his blood. Now he's not talking about two occasions of justification. He's simply showing here are two things that are involved, that are included in this system that God has designed and delivered whereby he can save man from his sins. It's man's faith, and he partakes of the benefits by faith. It's by the blood of Christ, who died in man's stead. And the blood of Christ is much more than sin. In verse 10 he says, for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Friend, Christ died, he was buried, but he was raised from the dead, declared to be the Son of God, Romans 1:4. And it is because he came back to life that we can be saved from our sins. And he says, and not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Friend, without the resurrection of Christ, there would be no gospel. Without the resurrection of Christ, there wouldn't be the demonstration of power over death and the declaration that he's the Son of God. The resurrection is an indispensable fact in providing for the salvation of mankind. Yes, God has provided for us a way of joy, and it's joy in this life, not only in this life, but in the life that is to come. Cannot we live happier lives knowing that we're going to be at home with God and that we have peace with God? He speaks of being reconciled, as I mentioned earlier as we started this fifth chapter. To be reconciled, here are two who are alienated one from another for some cause or another. And man is alienated from God because of man's sins, but he is reconciled. We have peace with God. It is accomplished by the grace of God. We have access to the benefits of his grace by our faith in the Christ who died for us and shed his blood in our stead and on our behalf. What a glorious system God has devised. And what does this system show to me and to you? Does not it show, undeserving as man is, how much God loves his creature? How much God loves man and wants man to be saved? He's not willing that any should perish. He wants all to come to repentance, and he has provided the way for man to come back to him. And when we begin to study next time in verse 12, we're going to see a comparison between Adam and Christ, and we can understand better what Christ has done on our behalf. This is A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.